Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Have you contacted a woman of impeachable character, or have you not properly treated a deserving woman? Or have you been defeated on the way by someone who is inferior or equal to you? Purport. It appears in this verse that during the time of the Pandavas, free contact between men and women were allowed in certain conditions only. The higher caste, namely the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, should accept a woman of a Vaishya or Sudra community, but a man from a lower caste should not contact women of the higher class. Even a Kshatriya could not contact a woman of a Brahmana class. The wife of a Brahmana is considered to be one of the seven mothers, namely one's own mother, the wife of the spiritual master or teacher, the wife of such a Brahmana, the wife of a king, the cow, the nurse, and the earth. Such contact between men and women are known as Uttama and Adama. Contact of a Brahmana and with a Kshatriya woman is Uttama, but the contact between a Kshatriya and a Brahmana and a woman is Adama, and therefore condemned. A woman approaching a man for contact should never be refused. But at the same time, the discretion is above mentioned or may also be considered. Bhima was approached by Hidabhini, from a community lower than the Sudras, and Yayati refused to marry the daughter of Sukracharya because Sukracharya, being a Brahmana, Vasudev, a Brahmana was caught to beget Pandu and Dhritarashtra. Satyavati belonged to the family of fishermen, but Parasha, the great Brahmana, begot in her Vedavyasadeva. So there are many examples of contact with women, but in all cases the contacts were not abominable or were the results of such contacts. Contact between men and women is natural, but that is also must be carried out under regulated principles so that social consideration may be not disturbed or unwanted worthless population be increased to the rest of the world. It is abominable for a Kshatriya to be defeated by one who is inferior in strength or equal in strength. If one is defeated at all, he should be defeated by some superior power. Arjuna was defeated by Bhishmadev, and Lord Krishna saved him from the danger. And this was not an insult for Arjuna, because Bhishmadev was far superior to Arjuna in all ways, namely age, respect and strength. But Karna was equal to Arjuna, and therefore Arjuna was in crisis when fighting with Karna. It was felt by Arjuna, and therefore Karna was killed by crooked means. Such an engagements of Kshatriyas. Such are the engagements of Kshatriyas. And Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from his brother if anything undesirable happened on the way home from Dwarka. Om Gyanarandasya Ganaslakaya Tasvitamani Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. So, the other day, I was listening to a class by Ayendra Prabhu, and And the purport, actually, before he spoke on the verse, he said that all of Srila Prabhupada's purports actually were, Prabhupada was actually dictating directly from Krishna himself. Because at every word, every sentence, every punctuation mark, Krishna was telling Srila Prabhupada. So these purports are actually Krishna himself. And sometimes that these purports, what seems like the obvious subject matter on the purport is there. But if we, he said, if we look really deep into these purports, there's something a lot more deeper. So, we can see in this purport is talking about the, you could say the system of how to, you know, to accept a wife, or what is compatible, who is not compatible with accepting a wife. So, but what stood out for me when I read this purport was at the end. And it said, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from his brother whether everything undesirable happened on the way home from Dwarka. So Anya can speak on this. And we know that this chapter is the disappearance of Lord Krishna. So we know that Lord Krishna, his so-called disappearance in Dwarka when he was shot in the foot by a hunter. And when I first heard this some years back, I found this very quite strange. To hear this. The reason being is that coming from an army military background and my father being one time he was a sergeant major, and he would sometimes they would go out on exercise. And sometimes, to get out of exercises, the privates would shoot themselves in the foot on purpose to get out of the exercise. So I was thinking, and they're back on that active duty after only 2 weeks. So I was thinking, how can an arrow kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the foot? It can't. As Prabhupada explains, why Krishna left that way was to confuse the Mayavadis. And then, as it says here, Yudhisthira inquired from Arjuna, did anything undesirable happen on the way home from Dwarka? Of course, few things happened after the disappearance of Krishna. First, of course, Krishna disappeared. Then his sons and grandsons, they annihilated each other. And then when Arjuna was escorting the queens of Dwarka from Dwarka to Hastinapur, a group of cowherd boys just easily abducted the queens and took them to Vrindavan. Even though Arjuna had his Gandiva bow, he could not do anything. because Krishna was, because his power, his power wasn't there no more. So Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan. And we know that Prabhupada, he says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that it is actually Vasudeva Krishna that left Vrindavan. The Acharyas explain this in a nice way. Sorry, some say it's not easy to understand how Krishna can remain in Vrindavan and never leave. But there's one book, I won't go into details, but I'll just brief mention how it goes. It's one book by Rupa Goswami called Lalita Madhava. And this book explains how Krishna, Krishna is taken to Mathura Mathura on the chariot of Akura. And when this happens, Radharani and Vishakha, they drown themselves in the Jamuna. And because because Radharani worshipped Suryadev they entered the Surya planet, entered into planet, the sun planet, and from there they entered into Dwarka. As Radharani entered as into Satyabhama, and therefore, so in Dwarka, Satyabhama Radha, she asked the architect, the demigods, to create a new Vrindavan, Nava Vrindavan, and also to have a murti of Krishna in Vrindavan there, in this Nava Vrindavan. So one day, so every day, Satyabhama Radha would go there and worship this deity, form with sandalwood paste, and so every day she would go there. So one day, now, I'm not going to mention one character, because one character will give everything away here. I'll mention at the end. So one day, Krishna in Vrindavan, Dwarka, they said, let's go to this Nava Vrindavan. And they go there and they see this deity, this murti of Krishna. And then Krishna said, oh, what a beautiful murti. He said, obviously this has been created by the architect, the demigods. And he's thinking, now who's worshipping this form of me? So then he tells the other person, please take that murti down, put it in the somewhere, hide away, and I will and I will replace the murti. So when that person comes, I can see who's worshipping me. So that day, Radharani comes, and with, I think it's Madhavi. And today, she sees, oh, this form of Krishna is even more beautiful today than ever. So then she starts worshipping. But because she's the beauty, is even more beautiful than ever, she starts crying. Then Krishna starts crying because he recognizes this is Radharani in Satyabhama. And then he actually reveals himself who he is. And she says, then there's some other long prayers. But then in the end, Radharani said, please, can we go back to Vrindavan? And have our pastimes. And then, now this is where that other person who was with Krishna on that day was actually Mother Mangal. So this is a big hint because Rupa Goswami, he was actually traveling through Orissa at the time. He was stayed overnight at one place at Satyabhamapur, and he had a dream from Satyabhama herself, and said, "Please write a play that it appears that Krishna leaves Vrindavan but doesn't." And this was reconfirmed by Lord Caitanya later on. So because it's written in the form of a play, then Krishna says, we're already here. Then the curtain comes up. And then behind the curtain is actually Vrindavan. He said, we never... So that curtain was the curtain of Yogamaya. He said, Krishna says, I asked Yogamaya to arrange this pastime. So we never left Vrindavan. Now, so according to the Acharyas, there's three aspects of Srimati Radhika. Vishabhanu Nandini, then there's Radhika, Vyogini, Radhava Vyogini. And then the third one is Radhika Samyogini. So Vishabhanu Nandini and Radhika Vyogini, they never leave Vrindavan, even though Radhika Vyogini is in the Mathura and Dwarka pastimes. The third one, Radhika Samyogini, is the Radharani at Kurukshetra when they go for the Rathyatra there. So then they go back to the spiritual world. So Krishna leaving, then comes the appearance of Lord Caitanya. Because in this Kali Yuga is the Maha Kali Yuga, because in this Kali Yuga, Lord Caitanya appears. And the next Kali Yuga, Lord Caitanya will not appear. But wherever Krishna personally appears, Lord Caitanya in the Kali Yuga will appear straight afterwards. And we know that Lord Caitanya is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and the mood and color of Srimati Radharani, golden color, but inside is Krishna is inside. So externally, Srimati Radhi is there, and Krishna is internally there. But in Vrindavan, we know that Radha and Krishna are separated to enjoy their pastimes. Radha is Purna Shakti, and Krishna is Purna Shaktiman. But they are never separated. Even though they are two, they are never separated. But in the Gaura Leelas, both Radha and Krishna are both in one body. Now in the Vrindavan pastimes, it's explained that Krishna is the object of love, the Vishai, and the Radharani is the abode of love. So we know the reason for Lord Caitanya's appearance is there's external reasons and internal reasons. So it says in Adi Leela 4:15 and 16, prema rasa narasa karatati avasvana ragma bhakti loke karat paraja prajana rasika seka krishna param karuna ehi du Dui Hetu Haiti Achara Dasgama. The Lord's desire to appear was born for two reasons. He wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant and the most merciful of all. So this is the reason for Lord Caitanya's appearance. First of all, the internal reasons and external reasons. First of all, he wanted to propagate pure devotional service on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Generally, this is known as Ragmarg Bhakti. But generally, we follow Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti, following the regular principles of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada, when he started with this Krishnadas movement, he gave Vaidhi Bhakti. But we can see that he wanted all the devotees to come eventually to the spontaneous level. Now, this is as in the words of Ayendra Prabhu, this is not our high thing, because within us is actually the essence of spontaneous service, because within us is that nature, intrinsic nature is there. And he gave the example that if there's something we like to do, something we really, really like, you know, materially, we will do it spontaneously. We won't. Krishna. If there's something we really like, we actually really, really like to do, we will do it without a second of a thought. We will do it spontaneously. You know, if someone likes pizza and there's pizza for breakfast, they'll spontaneously take it. But it's something, and so the spontaneous nature is there. It's like greed. There's spiritual greed and there's material greed. And if we, so this greed is actually the qualification for entering the Ragmar Bhakti. This is only at Adhikar, the only qualification. It's not, nothing else. This greed is to enter. This is the only qualification, greed. We have to be greedy for it. Spiritual greed has to be there. Like we're greedy for, you know, sometimes we, as I said, we see something we really like at Vishadam and we just go for it. And so therefore, we have to have this spiritual greed. And therefore, therefore this Ragmar Bhakti is not such a high thing, but we have to go. We can't neglect Vaidhi Bhakti, of course, because we have to follow the principles of regular principles of devotional service. And then we come to the Ragmarkita, where that means attraction to Rag Bhakti. First of all, we can't jump straight from Vaidhi to Ragma Bhakti. We have to go through Rag Bhakti. That means attraction to it. So this spontaneous thing is there within us, but we have to cultivate it. And then by associating with devotees who are on that platform, we can actually understand, or by hearing from them and associating with them. Of course, devotees are on different levels. I guarantee everybody in this room and listening on the Mana Media are on different levels. But whatever level we're at, I was reading a quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur the other day, and he was saying about making advancement in Krishna consciousness. He said, first be steady at the level you're at. Be firm and steady. He repeated this twice. And then once firm and steady, then go to the next level. And then one's firm and steady at that level, then one should take the step forward and go to the next level. But he was making the point that one should always be firm and steady at that level first, not just go whimsically, but be firm and steady at that level you're at first. So everybody is not at the same level. And so therefore, but we do that by taking association of those devotees, because association is very important for making advancement. If they're physically present, we can attend their class, and if we have any doubts or any questions, we can ask to get some clarification of any points. And if they're not physically present, then we take association of someone who knows the answer. Like, for instance, I listened a lot to a lot of classes by Govinda Maharaj, and there are some things I couldn't understand. So therefore, with the permission of Bhakti Chu Maharaj, because this is etiquette, if one has a Diksha Guru and one has a Shiksha Guru, you have to get the permission from the Diksha Guru and also get permission from the Shiksha Guru as well. So with the permission of Bhakti Chu Maharaj, I was taking Shiksha from Chaitanya Chandrababu, who was Govinda Maharaj's secretary for so many years. So by hearing from him, any things I couldn't understand, I would ask him, and he would clarify. So we have to make advancement, and by making advancement, we have to take association of advanced devotees. And it doesn't matter if they're brahmacharis, because it mentions that in Jiva Dharma, it mentions that there's one Mayavadi sannyasi in the beginning. His name is Sannyasi Thakur, and he comes to Mayapur Dham, Godrumadweep, and he takes shelter of this Prem Das Babaji Maharaj. But his spiritual master is actually a brahmachari. And generally we think that brahmacharis, the babajis, they're spiritual masters, with advanced devotees, which they are advanced devotees, of course. But this Prem Das Babaji Maharaj, he says, one day, let's go to Nisringapalli to see my spiritual master. So they did their routine, and then they went to Nisringapalli, and then this Prem Das Babaji Maharaj and Sannyasi Thakur, they got the darshan of the Nisringa Brahmachari. And this Nisringa Brahmachari, he says, now you take shelter from this Prem Das Babaji. So it doesn't matter, because if you see, sometimes I've seen, when you see in our, the devotees have different moods. Like, for instance, he doesn't come here. I've seen him. Banu Maharaj, Stapa knows him. He's in the mood of a brahmachari. He doesn't wear sannyasi. Yeah, he doesn't wear it. He wears a sannyasi dhoti and a t-shirt. Doesn't carry a danda, and his mood is a brahmachari. But you see other sannyasis, they're definitely in the mood. Sorry, Maharaj. Don't mean to, you just walk through, you know. they're definitely in the mood of a sannyas. Banu Maharaj, he's in the mood of a brahmachari. And so therefore, so devotees in different moods, and we have to, we have to respect that mood they're in, and that way we will carry on making advancement. So I'll stop there. Any questions or answers or? Yes, Maharaj. Comments.
Hare Krishna, Guru. Yeah, thank you for the class. One small clarification is that in ISKCON there is no written rule because there is no, you know, documented quote from Srila Prabhupada, but devotees are saying that he was commenting on standards for sannyas. He said for the first 10 years, sannyasi should carry danda. After 10 years, he can give it up.
Yeah.
So we can see that practically all the senior Vaishnavas, yeah, with few exceptions among sannyasis, they never carry danda.
Yeah.
So it's actually the sign of a higher level because, you know, the intermediate level of sannyas is Parivrajakacharya, but the top level is Paramahamsa. So Paramahamsa has no designation. So, I mean, none of the ISKCON devotees, of course, claims to be Paramahamsa, but yeah. This is how Prabhupada said it, apparently. So carrying danda is actually a sign of a neophyte sannyasi. So
I'm sure you're not, Maharaj.
I actually had a question about the statement you made referring to Ayendra Prabhu about Prabhupada's purpose. And I don't know how accurate the quote was, but someone might ask a question that, because you've mentioned down to the punctuation marks, everything was dictated by Krishna, then someone might ask, if it is so, then why Srila Prabhupada's purports required editing, and plus he himself insisted that his purports should be edited, so, you know, the doubt might arise that Krishna struggled with knowledge of English language or he had problems with grammar.
Also, he said that one time Srila Prabhupada was asked the question, but one of his disciples saw Prabhupada reading his own books and he was surprised. Said, "Prabhupada, you're reading your own books." He said, no, Krishna's telling me directly. Now, there is a case I read one time some years back, where the Arjamil Leela. Now, Prabhupada somehow he said the verse where Arjamil says Narayan once, but the devotee reading the book, you know, Prabhupada used to give class and somebody else would read the purport. So then he said, the devotee, he said Narayan three times. And then Prabhupada said, where did you get this Narayan for three times? Said Prabhupada, and then he said, Arjimil said only once. He said, I heard somebody say this. He said, this is, you know. So then he corrected him, and then he said, sorry, no, I'm got it wrong. He read in the verse Narayan three times. Then Prabhupada said, where do you get this from? It's written down. He said, it's only Narayan only once. So then the purport, then the verse was changed. So yeah, the editing should be there. But sometimes, now this is in some areas, a controversial question, because some people say you should never touch Prabhupada's purports. One shouldn't. And if you read the original Bhagavad Gita printed by Macmillan, there's so many mistakes in there. So many is in there. Like Planet of the Cows and things like that. Yeah, it is. So that had to be edited. Because there was mistakes by the printing company, and and so therefore it has to be done if there's some mistakes. But it's now saying Krishna is making mistakes. No, Krishna doesn't make any mistakes, because I read a poem the verse of the day. Whatever is written, even if it's pronounced or spelt incorrectly, it is perfect. So for some reason, we cannot understand why this happens, that Krishna seemingly makes mistakes, but it's not a mistake. For our understanding, there has to be some editing, maybe for our understanding, proper understanding. So I can say. Anything else? Yes, Lalita Madhava.
Which one?
Lalita Madhava. There's two books that goes of it. There's Vivegayama Madhava, which is the pastimes of Vrindavan, and then the pastimes in Dwarka. And I said Satyabhama personally told him to write these books. And so for these books, it shows that Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan. Kantaraj and Bhagavatam Ki Jai.